Afternoon, everyone. My plan was just to pretty much jump right into the site and talk about some of the tools that we've given our programmers, our network programmers, who are the editors who live in HQ. TrueSlant has about 225 contributors, bloggers, who contribute to the site, to the network, and we've got basically one full-time editor who wades into the stream of the content coming in from these 200-plus folks and cherry-picks stuff to feature on the homepage, to feature throughout our topic streams, and utilize a whole bunch of different promotional areas that exist throughout the site. And if I'm not making any sense, please stop me and let me know. So, when you're a regular person, a reader of the site, this is what it looks like. When our... And I'm jumping back and forth between what's live in production and what's in our development environment, just so I'm not changing our production site. The editors wouldn't appreciate that. So this is dev, basically. And I'm logged in here, so I get to see some other things that not everyone does. Starting with my special editorial goggles. When I put my editorial goggles on, a bunch of things change, including something like this. So as you see here, I can, the editors as they're, let me show you what the stream looks like perhaps first. As new content comes in from all corners of the earth, it'll appear here eventually. And the editors will eyeball it, can see what's grabbing their attention right away, and can make some quick decisions whether or not they want to delve more deeply into something like that. So we have posts here. There's a bunch of stuff that is...
I'm wondering if I can improve the way.
Sure. Since we have few editorial resources, we also do some kind of algorithmic aiding of those editors. So among that is all of the contributors have reputation associated with them. And that reputation can help surface some of, hey, pay attention to this, given a limited amount of time. And the reputation is an amalgam of, do they post a lot? Do they get a lot of page views? Do they interact with the other contributors across the network? There's probably 17 or 18 desired behaviors that figure into their reputation. The contributors have a reputation, the members of the site, community members, have a reputation as well, and then the content itself has reputation. So some of this stuff, when Bob Andelman created this, you can see he gets automatically categorized into these. The editors can go in and change those categorizations, add additional topics to which Bob's stuff should flow into. So an editor creates, we built on MU, and the majority of the customizations that we've done to MU are to sort of break down the silos. So MU is basically you get your blog, I get my blog, this guy gets his blog, and what we want, a lot of cross-referencing going on in there. And that's most of what we've done. So when Bob posts, his post goes to his site, as you would expect. And, you know, Bob gets to run kind of this whole thing. But you can see in this header, this is content from across the network. You can see this is all Bob-related stuff. This is his site, Bob-related stuff. And then you can see, again, stuff that exists across the network. In addition to Bob's new posts flowing into Bob's site, it also flows into a couple of communal areas, one of which is this all-network activity stream. So you could see things flowing in here from, again, all corners. When the network programmer goes in, he gets to, or she gets to view some things and can put on your editing goggles and do some stuff. So here, you see header. You might not see it, but there's header and star. Star means basically put it, take it from this communal pool and put it into a pool that's available for the front page. And then I'll get to that. And header means make it available so it can appear in this thing. Sorry for all the clicking. What else can we do? We can also directly here edit the headline. So, Dev Tester 26, nice name, wrote something that looks real interesting, but we might want to pump up the headline a little bit, and we can do that right here. And so we keep the author's headline. That's always there. And when you go into the original post, you can see the author's headline. But based on the context of where this might appear, we want to say something more than that. So now, there that is. I think I will also star this, and with hope to be able to see it from the front page. So here I am. I am able to edit these panels. So as you see, I can go through. If I wanted to edit this headline again, maybe the finally got ahead some doesn't work in this context of where it lives. We call this the news now. Or maybe I just don't want to use this headline at all or this story at all. So the editors can click on it, and basically anything that's starred from someplace else, they also have access to here. So here's Pump It Up and Good. And I can slot that into this area. If I take off my goggles, get a better view of what it is. What else are fun things? Okay, so here is another thing. These are just editorial picks, what they want to appear on the front page. Bless you. I'm going to remove my goggles again so you can see basically what it looks like here. We have several posts. If I want to change this, basically take this and feature it down there instead. Just drag it. What you'll also see, scroll all the way down, and you'll see some of these lower items are basically ghosted. So these ghosted items are something that I've seen, I as my network programmer, have seen in one of the streams or reading Bob's blog or Matt Taibbi's blog or whomever's blog. Said I wanted to maybe put this on the homepage for later. So I can pin this, and now it appears on the front page, and then drag it up and make that my first story. And when I publish, yeah, I'm about to change the lives of millions. That's okay. And now, anybody who visits the site is going to see the stories in the order in which the network programmer wanted them.
So is that Ajax stuff that you guys wrote, or is it a plugin somewhere else?
No, it's stuff that we've written. Again, you know, Ajax is part of it, getting it all into sort of DOM objects, getting it all into jQuery is one bit of the fun. The other bits of the fun are again, breaking down those silos that generally exist between the blogs on the Moo in installation.
Can you talk a little bit about how you do that from a kind of a technical standpoint?
A little bit, sure. A lot of shadow tables, for the most part. So, you know, there's a whole set of tables that exist for each blog, and then for each content type, we create a shadow table that encompasses all the content from across those blogs. And that includes comments, posts, pages, something that we call headline grabs, right here. Yeah, that's another cool thing that net editors can do. If I go to headline grabs, and this is dev, so be kind. What I could do is, if I want to see we have this featured contributor here, if I want to feature Matt instead, I can just click him, and now Matt sort of owns that spot, right? And the cool thing is that I can do that across all of these topics. So we've got our major topic streams, and we've got sort of subtopics that roll up into that major topic stream. So right now we have Katie Drummond is our featured contributor for the health topic. I can find some actual stuff. Katie. If I want to make Tori the featured contributor for... This is another way that this ungodly list of categories is another way that we could build topics. But you see, I swapped out Katie and added Tori.
Yeah, all these great features you developed for your site, are they available as a plugins for the rest of us, or is a question?
Not as yet. We're a startup. I mean, we've only been in existence for a little bit more than a year. We've only been live to the public since April of this 6 months ago. Releasing a bunch of the awesome stuff that we've done is definitely in the plans, but right now we're trying to make a go of it, of, you know, building our business. We're five people all together, and etc. So it's not quite around the corner, and we definitely will have more work to do before we can make them sort of publicly consumable in a non embarrassing way. But yes, someday. And a lot of it, to the earlier question, it's heavy jQuery usage. I mean, that's many steps in how we're actually manipulating the DOM within the browser is all in jQuery.
Is there any change at all to a user's blog, or do they just blog like it's WordPress and they just don't have anything else?
Our contributors, we've simplified it some, but generally what they see is fairly straightforward WordPress. There's not a, you know, some of the stuff that we've added is enabling them to promote themselves on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and stuff like that. We've tried to just scale back what the editor interface looks like so that it doesn't get in their way for the most part. But what they see and how they go about it is fairly straightforward.
Okay.
Let's see where are some other cool places that we can manipulate stuff. One of the other things too, in whereby where the underlying proposition of TrueSLAN is that the bloggers that we have are folks that we've actually recruited. So it's not a go there and sign up and get a blog kind of place. We don't think we can compete in that space. But we all come from, the founding team comes from newspapers and magazines and television and book publishing, in addition to digital publishing. and Coates Bateman, our head of content, has done this forever in terms of herding talent and trying to get them signed and trying to get them working to get them published. So some of them have experience writing for online. A lot of them do not. What we're trying to do is help them be excited on a continual basis about writing online. Part of the way that we get them excited is to show them their numbers are much better than mine. But we show them, we give them a lot of stats. We keep them updated with, and this stuff is from Google Analytics, and it's actually Google's Sparkline code to display this. Then we give them a mix of who's linking to you, you know, what other conversations are going on that are covering topics who may be directly linked to you. We're giving them how many views they've got for the last 24 hours and all time, et cetera, et cetera. I'm sorry.
I came here a couple months ago. Didn't you actually, in fact, pay them according to
them? Yes. Yeah, there's a number of different ways in which we can compensate them, our contributors, but definitely performance is a big part of it.
Sounds like very unique. I've never heard of it before.
Of True Slant?
Well, no, True Slant, but it's being paid that way.
I mean, other people are certainly doing it. I mean, it's that'd be great if we invented it. You can keep thinking.
Okay.
But you know, it's a television affiliate model as well, right? I mean, you own your affiliate station, and the more viewership you bring, you profit accordingly.
I know Jamie Malinowski.
Oh, okay.
So I came and all of a sudden was like, oh, sign up for Jamie Malinowski and...
there you go.
And follow what he does.
Do they get paid for how many subscribers sign up on their pages?
Not directly that way. For the most part, it's a pure unique visitor, so it doesn't even have to be a subscription. It's just drawing in unique visitors every month.
I'm kind of interested in, because you spent some time talking about the editorial process and how it works technologically.
Right.
And with your experience in working for other, Condé Nast and other publications, I'm always wondering what the back end, what the administrative process works for other big sites. And maybe you can talk a little bit about how True Slant's editorial process compares to, like, you know, some of the other big sites that you've worked with or some of the other sites that you know about.
Well, thanks. That's a good question. One of the main things is that these guys. Let's get this ugly mug off here. The True Slant contributors are names to one degree or another, and they're coming to True Slant to blog under their names. I mean, I think if you see when you go here, Jeff Coyne's site is, you know, we're little up here, and Jeff Coyne is big down here. So the short answer to your question is Jeff can hit publish whenever he wants. Nobody at Condé Nast can hit publish whenever they want. There's a bunch of line editors and managing editors and assignment desk folks who are looking through, and copy editors just trying to say, spoke this wrong, or you made it. Fact checkers doing all sorts of stuff. We're working to disintermediate that and let Jeff get right to his public, right? It's Jeff's name, so if he wants to go off half-cocked, he has all the power in the world to go
off
half-cocked.
So nothing's held for publication?
Nothing is held for publication. No. And that has a...
Oh, sorry. Can it get to the front page if it's...
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
I mean,
yeah, because,
you know,
of your algorithms, it sounds like it could actually just be promoted.
The front page itself is a wholly editorial creation. Let me make sure that's a true statement. Michael Rostin, who's our front page editor, creates the home page. So it won't get there automatically, but Michael will go in and do some light editing if he feels it warrants it, but that's a relationship, and it's not a it's not a business process that says you submit, you get held for a review, and then somebody else publishes. I'm sorry.
I'm just wondering what sort of resources were devoted to creating the customizations here. Was it, you know, 3 people, 5 people, 1,000 hours, 5,000 hours?
2 people, myself and one developer, but scratch that. It's built on top of WordPress Moo, right?
Right, but say beyond
after that. So we got to stand on the shoulders of 100 billion great people, and then on top of that, it was 2 people that for we had alpha releases that were available only to our to some of our initial contributors within a couple of months. But then we've been refining and iterating since. And I'm sorry, back there we had a question. But
My question, you kind of probably answered it. I run a site that's technically MU, but I'm the editor and I go through this and everything. So, and I'm very intrigued by the concept, and I can encourage my contributors, because they all have their own author ID,
right,
to be blogging by themselves. Then I can decide if I want to feature something, then I can go in. And so that's the kind of process.
Absolutely. And we have, you know, again, we have technology-aided human editorial. I'm big on the technology side, but you know the greatest algorithms in the world don't match even a semi-good person who's editing, and we have great people who are editing. So we want to help them use their time as best as possible, and the reputation system has a lot to do with that.
Does also help you because you do have these names, that then they therefore that helps all your numbers.
Sure. You know, the whole idea of adjacency, you know, somebody wants to be on writing for the same site that Jeff Coyne does, somebody wants to write for the same site that Jamie Malinowski does. There's lots of that. There's a lot of names that aren't sort of larger names like that, but they're a lot of those guys are people are more savvy about the medium, right? So they know how to promote themselves, they know how to engage in conversations.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's really it's been a very nice ecosystem that we've been able to create. in the back, sorry.
Can you talk a little bit about the automation payoffs to the contributors, meaning is it all done through Google AdWords, Offline, or do you have built-in functionality?
The question was about automating payments, which is some business process standardizations. We're not quite there yet. We've had to do, again, we're a very small team. We're 5 people altogether, and not all in technology. So right now it's very relationship-based. So we pull all of our analytics out of our own logs, some custom reports that we run, and then a bunch of custom reports that we run out of Google Analytics, and that's how we pay. I mean, the pay, the compensation structures are varied. Some people are actually earning equity in the company in lieu of money. Some people are getting a little bit more money as their base payment and not having as much performance-based. But
what about revenue generation? I see you're running Google Ads. Do you have an ad sales team, too, or you know?
No. That was nice, too. When we first launched in April, kind of a funny story. We were building under the auspices that we were going to launch in April and be under the radar. We weren't going to announce that we had launched, but we were just going to go public. And then a month later, start working with some PR people or start, you know, rattling cans. But somebody told Walt Mossberg about what we were doing, and Walt then met with Louis Dvorkin, our CEO and founder, and Walt wrote about us on the day that we were launching Stealth. So our Stealth launch was not very stealthy, which affected me more than anybody else because I thought I was going to have a month to, like, fix things. So, I didn't. That did help. So we obviously aren't going to say, no, you can't put us in the Wall Street Journal. The Economist actually bought all of our inventory for the first 2 months. So for the first 2 months of our lives, we had nice, bold red and black and white ads from The Economist. And now we're just running some of this right now. We're hoping to ramp up the sales side soon.
Cool. Do you have any sort of a reputation interface or administrative panel? Is that on a WordPress site or is that in a database elsewhere that you pull out?
There is no end user. You know, there's nothing for you to look at. There's stuff for me to look at in the database, but we can't. You know,
is
there
it manual or automatic?
It's automatic. Yeah. You know, it's there. I'd like to say for a contributor, there are 17 data points that we're tracking. Basically key performance indicators. Are you generating traffic? Are you logging in frequently? Are you publishing frequently? And all of those, it's relatively simple right now. In fact, we're not leveraged. One of the things that we're doing going forward is to leverage all that stuff that we've been collecting a lot more. But it's just incrementing. It's just incrementing enough.
Are you storing that relative to the WordPress database, or do you have...
Yes, relative to the WordPress database. And everything that we've done, 99.8% of what we've done has been customizations, being good WordPress citizens. We haven't hacked to hardly any core stuff at all. A little bit in registration, and that's about it. Everything else has been from a plugin and theme extending the environment that we've been given.
There's so many contributors and data points that we track. I guess my question is, what plugin?
The second question first. I think there are a lot of plugins that we've looked at to get ideas, and I know that there are a bunch of good ones to do reports on. I don't know if I can name them off the top of my head, but almost everything that we've done, we've built custom because of one of the things I started out by saying is Moo basically is designed to build silos so that your site and my site can exist on the same installation but be completely separate. And we knock down those walls a lot, and that affects the way that plugins behave. We also do a decent amount of traffic, and there are a lot of great plugins that work well when you have 5,000 people but don't work as well when you have 500,000 people. And you know, it comes down to, do we want to start from an existing and work on hacking that, or do we want to build from our existing code base and make it work exactly out as we expect?
Because most of the custom plugins, other issues,
that's a good question. Mostly no, and that's. It takes some work. We can't just hit the upgrade now button. It takes some work on our side, but for the most part, because we worked at being, you know, sticking to the WordPress way of doing things, we do pretty well. I mean, to give you an idea, we started building this in, you know, September of last year, and that was 2.6, and we've upgraded the core Moo code 3 times since then.
I was curious how we've been the river in the room. How do you post this, and how do you deal with the traffic spikes? And question: does the back end look to the contributors pretty much like a typical WordPress back end?
I'll put up what the back end looks like for the most. I'd say we've worked to not have the contributors go into what the regular WordPress looks like. So if you see right here, They can get to their site. They could get to, let's see. So this part looks just like it, right? They have their own dashboard. Go back over here. Keeping them out of, and I obviously see a lot more than they see, but kind of trying, working to keep them out of the muck is has been an ongoing aim.
Permission.
Correct.
And then you host through.
And hosting. So the first question was about hosting, and if I get too excited, tell me to shut up. We host completely on Slicehost right now. So when I first designed what the infrastructure was going to look like, the idea was that we were going to go with a hybrid. We wanted some portions that were in the cloud and some portions that were kind of more traditional hardware. But we've spent $0 on buying hardware. Now we're in the process of moving to more of that hybrid way of doing things, but Slicehost has been really very, very good. And Slicehost is we can clone existing. So we've got I'll try to be quick. We have a couple of software-based load balancers that sit in front of four big-ish Apache instances that sit on top of two bigger-ish MySQL instances. And basically, if we need to, we can spin up new, not really on the database side, that takes a little bit more, but on the web side especially, if we need to spin up 1, 2, 8 more boxes, that can happen in a matter of 20 minutes. So we just clone an existing, add an entry to our load balancer, and now the balanced load goes across 5 or 6 or 8 instead of 4.
And they charge you,
it's purely usage. So if we spin something up, and we've done this a few times, if we spin something up and then spin it back down, they charge us for, you get charged for the whole month when you first spin it up, but then they refund you the remainder.
Will they alert you if you're reaching your limit or how do you know the load and manage? As specific, this is a news site where you're going to get, you know,
right,
weird spikes.
Yeah. I mean, we have a whole monitoring infrastructure as well, so that we do. Slicehost doesn't alert us by default. I think they have tools available that we could write stuff to them, but we just run our own. It's called Nagios. It's another open source monitoring program, and you could write a bunch of scripts for that and say, how quickly is this request being answered, and what's the ping return on this, and how's the interface looking, and what's the memory usage of X process or Y process? And I get a lot of mail to tell me that something or other is not happy, or very happy. The second question, a negligible amount. The first question, currently, right? I mean, it's all, as you see, it's Google, and this is on dev, so the ads in production are a little bit better, I think, but not a whole lot of money. And then, does it have to be original to TrueSlant? We heartily encourage that, but our contracts with our contributors are non-exclusive, so they can cross-post, repost, repurpose. I mean, Matt Taibbi writes for Rolling Stone, and we encourage, actually, part of our sort of compensation model is we encourage you to promote all of the other stuff that you do, right? The idea is here is that your TrueSlant site is your hub site. You know, this is where we want you to talk about the lectures that you're giving and the book tour that you're on and the magazine articles that you have coming out. At the same time, we don't really want you to just write something and then publish it five different places. And again, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about. This is their brand, so that doesn't really work well for your brand either if you're just saying the same thing in five different properties, right?
Yes,
it was easy, and no, I don't have regrets. I had done significantly smaller projects with WordPress previously to this, but even when I was still at Condi, and I came in saying it was why not already. I actually, an interesting thing, I thought that we were going to go with a hybrid of Moo and Drupal, but I haven't needed to use Drupal.
Was this being financed? Did you talk about that? Is this VC bootstrapped? What?
Our initial investor, so Forbes Media and Velocity Interactive, they're called Fuse Interactive now, and our CEO, Louis Dvorkin, worked for Tim Forbes for a number of years and worked for John Miller at AOL for a number of years. So if he could convince them to give him money, I'd be great.
I'm curious how like your home page and your editorial administrator tools, how tied in are they to you, or are some of those kind of applications up to themselves?
No, it's all tied into Mu.
So it's like custom fields and ghosts and things like that?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's all, as you see, it's, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's pretty heavily tied into, again, like someone was asking about other plugins that exist. We saw a lot of plugins and looked at a lot of code and got a lot of great ideas. At the same time, because we've done a bunch of customizations, we needed to build these things. And it's... anyone else? Let's see if there's any other cool.
Who designed it?
An outfit called. Wow. James Ellis was the lead designer. Let me go to here because I know we gave him props. Athletics.
Athletics.
They're really a co-op. A very interesting organization too, and you know, a bunch of folks who have different disciplines, and they were you know, certainly significantly more than just design. You know, they were involved pretty early in the process. Yeah, in Brooklyn. They're right on our about page. So when you go to TrueSlant and click on all the ads every day, you can go and look at the page. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.